B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Sees them going. Also, a little bit later this hour, Connor Barwin's going to join us.
Oh, Connor's going to come in.
Just received word. He's down the hall hanging out with our friends, good, Preston and Steve. And he's going to come right down the hall. He's going to have a little conference. He's got the Make the World Better Place concert. Make the World Better concert coming up, not too distant future here.
That's good.
So we'll talk to him about all that and more coming up here on 97.5 The Fanatic. But right now, yeah, he's one of your guys.
He's a good dude.
Outside linebacker. Well, you were coaching the outside linebackers.
Yeah, he was good.
How'd
he
do? Really good. How'd he do under Coach Trey?
He was awesome. Man.
Are you kidding?
Was he awesome?
Trey took him to new heights.
Trying to help, but he
was good. I really enjoyed working with Connor.
Did he make a Pro Bowl?
Yeah, he did make a
Pro under Bowl. Your tutelage?
I don't know. I was just there.
I was
just there.
I just showed up.
Just hanging out.
Have to tell you, the 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, and on the line with us right now from the Philadelphia Inquirer and out of Cleveland right now, where he is for all the All-Star festivities. An awesome writer. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt_Breen from the Inquirer. Matt Breen joins us. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing this morning?
We're doing
fantastic.
Doing awesome, man. How's Cleveland treating you?
It's beautiful. It's Cleveland. There was a thing on ESPN last night. It's not Detroit, so that's what they have going for them right now.
That's a great way to put it into perspective for us. Now,
great slogan for a city. We are not Detroit.
That's right. Farther than 8 miles, so we're good. When it comes to Cleveland, I've only been in Cleveland like once in my life, and whatever, it was nice. I just remember it was windy. But you're at the Progressive Field, formerly known as the Jake, for all the festivities. But before that, Carlos Santana is making his, his rounds. He's at his podium doing his media session, and he gets asked about the TV situation. Is this something that we blew up out of proportion with the video games from last year, or is this something that you needed a veteran to come in and kind of police the issue?
No, I think it was, for yesterday, it was, the story came out in spring training when he was in Arizona, and we hadn't, you know, Philly media hadn't had a chance to talk to him about it, so everybody in Cleveland yesterday wanted to talk to him about how great it was, and it's his dream come true to be an All-Star in your hometown. And, you know, here we were the jerks asking about TV smashing. And I don't know if it was needed, a veteran leadership. I think it was a guy that was frustrated at the end of a tough season and saw that he said that guys were playing video games during the games. I know the Phillies said that wasn't true, but there was definitely, it was a known thing last year that these guys were playing video games a lot, before the games, after the games. I don't know. If he's saying during the games, that's what he said. And he took it out on their TV, and he ended their games. And then he didn't want to talk too much about it yesterday, but, of course, you know, he did confirm it happened. And he talked about how tough of a year it was just with playing in a new league, new team, and a new pitchers to face.
Matt, was it ever specified as to at least what position these guys were? Were they pitchers? Were they guys that had the day off that were playing the games? Was that ever specified?
No, but just from being around the team last year, like we knew they played Fortnite all the time. Like when Nick Williams, remember when he told me that he, and early in the season last year, that he was, they complained that the computers were making the lineups. He said that, I was like, well, does it at least help you that, you know, Gabe will text you the day before and tell you you're not in the lounge the next day. And he goes, the only thing that helps me with is I can play Fortnite all night. So you knew it was like they loved, and it was written about in a bunch of different papers last year that baseball players everywhere played Fortnite. It was like this, just like kids did, but it was a thing on baseball teams that all these guys were playing Fortnite, and they were staying up late at night to play Fortnite. And I don't know if they were playing it during the games, but that was Carlos Santana's feeling that these guys were leaving the dugout to go play Fortnite. And it's just, I don't think that's happening this year. So that was something that stayed in 2018.
Speaking with Matt Breen from the Philadelphia Inquirer, you can follow him on Twitter at Matt_Breen. So the other part of this is JT Realmuto yesterday, while addressing the media, talked about the idea that this front office still believes in this team. Now, a half game in the wild card, so it shouldn't be that much of a surprise, but believes in the team enough to add before the trade deadline of July 31st. Do you think that would be a wise move by the front office, or would this be more wise to stand pat?
Yeah, I think you have to add. It just comes to a point of what are you adding? Are you adding the high market starting pitcher and giving up a prospect that people know? Or are you doing what you did last year and kind of find these older veteran players that are on, you know, 1 year deal somewhere, and you're giving up either nothing or prospects that, you know, low level prospects that people don't know who they are? And I think you built this season, you invested this offseason $500 million into this roster. So your goal was to make the playoffs. You can't give up at the All-Star break and say, well, we're 6.5 back to the Braves and we are in the wild card and just we're not going to do anything. So I think they definitely have to address it. They didn't address the starting rotation this offseason. So now you have Jake Arrieta's hurt and you don't have a fifth starter. So you really need two starting pitchers. You at least need one of them if you're going to trot Vince Velasquez out there still. So I think they will definitely add a starting pitcher this month. The interesting thing is that there's no waiver deadline. The Phillies made a couple waiver moves last year in August. Now everything has to happen this month before the 31st. So you're going to see a lot of activity, and I think the Phillies will be involved in it.
Matt, what were your expectations of this team going in? Because fans, and you look at it differently, but fans, you know, kind of thought with all the additions that you just talked about and all the money spent, that it should be a playoff team and perhaps maybe even a World Series team. What were your expectations of this going in?
It's definitely a playoff team. At the very least, I expect them to win a wild card, but I didn't think the NL East would be out of reach at the All-Star break. And I know it's still a lot of baseball left to be played. It just feels that way. That 6.5 games sure feels like a lot. I thought this team would win 90 games. I thought it would take 90 games, 90 wins to win the NL East. I thought they were capable of doing that. And like I said, at the very least, a wild card. And then once you get to the playoffs, you know, you never know what happens. In 08, the Phillies won the World Series, and they weren't the best team that season. So you don't know what's going to happen once you get to the playoffs. You just got to get there. But I thought it's spring training. I would have been shocked to find out that not only are the Phillies 6.5 back at the break, but they only have one All-Star in Cleveland.
No, it's unfortunate. And JT Realmuto, great defensively, obviously. Hasn't been the hitter that he's been throughout his career, but still All-Star nonetheless. So, Matt, if the Phillies are going to make a push, if they do stand pat, they're definitely going to need pitching. And right now, things aren't looking so good for Jake Arrieta. What's the latest on him and the Spurs in his elbow?
Realmuto said yesterday that he's known about this elbow for a while, that he's been pitching through it, and he's not sure if he can keep pitching through it or if he's going to get surgery. Scott Boras, who represents Arrieta, he said they're going to find out this week if Arrieta's going to need surgery or if he's going to be able to pitch through it. He still needs to talk to him more. Arrieta's going to have an MRI, an X-ray, get some more testing done. It's just my gut feeling. I don't think he's going to pitch through this. I think he's going to need surgery. Because the Phillies have him under contract for next year. So if he pitches through this the rest of the year, he's going to need surgery in the offseason. He could also, you know, damage it more or get hurt in the rest of this season. Then he's going to need surgery, and now you're looking into next season. So he's not the pitcher you hope that he is right now because he's hurt. So if you just shut him down now, get him taken care of, and then piece together the rotation with either an addition from the outside or call up a guy from the minor leagues, then you'll be fine. I just don't think right now throwing Jake Arrieta out there every fifth day is optimal for the Phillies.
So, Matt, speaking with Matt Breen from the Inquirer, then who takes his spot in the rotation?
That's where you could get gutsy, and you could go to Double A and call up Damon Jones. A prospect just came up from Clearwater. Call him up, or you could just keep rolling out, you know, Eniel De Los Santos or these guys that we've seen, Cole Irvin that we've seen already. But I think it's time to take a chance and to either if it's an Adonis Medina who's a Double A or Damon Jones, and you kind of get bold and push those guys into the fire and see what happens. Because I think, you know, I think we know what Cole Irvin and De Los Santos are at this point. So why not take a chance? Your 6.5 games back. So, you know, this is the time to take a chance. But if you're going to make a move, there's pitchers out there. There's varying types of pitchers on the market. And the guy I like the most is Marcus Stroman from the Blue Jays. And it might cost you a prospect. But what I like about him is that he's under contract for next year. So this year is important. You know, you're goal is to make the playoffs this year, but also next year is important. Bryce Harper's here for 13 years. Most of this core is here for the next few seasons, so you have to keep next year in mind. And if they could get a guy like Marcus Stroman, not only for the final months of this season, but put him in a rotation with Aaron Nola and hopefully a healthy Jake Arrieta, that's a pretty good 1-2-3 punch.
Yeah. Medina, by the way, 390 ERA for AA Reading, 5-3 on the season, 22 years old. So while we're getting nuts, Matt, to use your words here, if we want to get nuts, let's get nuts here. What about Alec Bohm? Any shot of seeing him at the major league level this season?
Definitely. And that's one guy that I would not trade this summer is Alec Bohm. I think he's untradeable. And he started the year at Lakewood. He went to Clearwater. Now he's at Reading. So it would be incredible if he reached the majors in 1 year going through all those levels. But it's not out of reach. It just he has to keep hitting. And the Phillies think might happen is that what happens to a lot of guys, they go through their first full season and they get worn down at the end. And you can almost start seeing that at Reading. His numbers at Reading, they're not as hot as they were in Clearwater and Lakewood. He is that just an adjustment of Double A, or is he starting to slow down? Which understandably it could happen at some point this year. But it's only been 15 games at Reading. So if he gets back there, he keeps hitting. The Phillies they're not going to be patient with Alec Bohm. They're going to be aggressive if they have the chance to. And if he keeps hitting, they don't have a long term spot at third base. Anybody holding him back, so third base is his once he's ready.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt Breen from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Really appreciate you joining us from Cleveland. Enjoy the All Star festivities as they continue tonight with the MLB All Star game. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a good one.
My pleasure, man. Great stuff. Great stuff right there. 610-632-0975. And you know what? Speaking of great stuff. Is there a guy that inspires happiness faster right now in this city than a man named Connor Barwin? This guy,
not that I know of,
embraces the city of Philadelphia. He's one of our own now, and now he is putting on, for I believe the fifth consecutive year, his Make the World Better concert. And that's happening as Connor Barwin joins us in studio right now. Connor, welcome in, my friend.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
We just can't get rid of you. We love when you come around.
We don't want to get rid of you. Don't listen to him. Damn we don't right. want to get rid of
Damn
you.
Damn right we don't want to get rid of you, man. Like, seriously, the athletes that take their, not just their job seriously, but also their citizenship as serious as you. You guys, I wish I could say are a dime a dozen, but you're so few and far between. That's why we appreciate you on and off the football field, man. Tell me about this concert. Fifth straight year, right?
Yeah, fifth straight year. Future Islands is headlining the show, and then Hop Along, Strand of Oaks, and Carl Blau. It'll be back at the Dell, where we had the War on Drugs show 2 years ago. 6,000-seat venue. It's in East Fairmont Park. It's a great
I was at the place. War on Drugs show. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Great show.
Yeah, awesome venue. Tickets are on sale now. We have a meet-and-greet ticket that's like $150 where there's food by Vetri and Joe Badia, and some Eagles players will be there an hour before the doors open. Other than that, there's, you know, $25 tickets, $55 tickets, $35 tickets. So get them now.
Okay, so it's a great music. And you just mentioned two of like the best chefs in Philadelphia in Badia and Vetri. I mean, I'll tell you right now, the pizza will be out of this world. I mean, that goes without saying.
They're not going to do pizza because it's hard to do pizza, but they're going to do something cool. They're going to do a hoagie collaboration. So, I mean, that's perfect.
That is perfect, man. Now, how did this whole thing start? Because like we said, fifth year doing this, it all started how? Because you have always talked about, I think it was your father, coming home with like handfuls of trash.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that inspires you to kind of keep that going.
Yeah, so my dad used to go on runs when I was a kid, and he'd like come home with trash in his hand, and I'd be like, what the hell are you doing? And he'd be like, man, I'm just kind of taking care of where we live. It was no big deal. So I got to Philly in 13. I started riding my bike, and we found this playground at 20th and Tasker, this kind of wooden backboards falling over, holes in the basketball court, but always like kids trying to play out there. And I was like, man, I want to do something. So I thought I could just like write a check for $50,000 and put in like a new basketball court. So I called a meeting with the former head of Parks and Rec. We met the council person, and met a bunch of people, and then talked to my parents. Everybody was like, well, you can't just like go in and pay for it and leave. And first of all, it's going to cost way more than $50,000. You got to like get involved in the community and work with them and help them kind of reimagine the space. Long story short, it cost $750,000, and we redid the whole site. But I had to I paid some of it, and then I had to raise some money. So the first concert, I went to see shows at Union Transfer all the time. So I met Sean Agnew. Sean's a big Eagles fan. He's a great person. He was like, man, just do everything here. We won't charge you anything. I'll help you get the bands to play for free. So that first year, we raised $85,000 at the show. I matched it. We had $170,000. We took that out, leveraged it, and that's where we got $750,000 to redo the whole site. Mm-hmm. Fast forward, we've had now our fifth show. We did a $3 million project at Smith Playground, over $2 million at Waterloo Playground. And now we're doing Vera Rec Center in Grace Ferry, which will be a $14 million project.
That's awesome, man.
That's a lot of handfuls of trash.
That is absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. And you're still local. Like, I know you've been around the last couple of years, been around New York and L.A.,
yep.
But you're still local here in Philly.
Yeah, so every off season, me and my family, we move back. We had a great experience in L.A., playing and living. New York, great experience living there, not so much playing. So we come back to Philly every offseason.
Understood. Now, the interesting thing that there's been some news about you recently.
Yeah.
The potential reunion, maybe. You're still working out. You're still in great shape, right? And in no way are you ready to hang it up.
Yeah, no, I want to keep playing. I want to be in a great situation. Obviously, the best situation for me would probably not have to leave. I mean, the Eagles, the roster is awesome. They look like they should, you know, be in the playoffs again, have a chance at the Super Bowl. So this is a perfect situation for me. I could kind of be, you know, somewhat like what Chris was the last couple of years, kind of that fourth edge rusher. If somebody gets hurt, I'm there to, you know, you can trust me. You know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And so we'll see what happens. The Eagles have invested in some young guys in the draft. They have to figure out if they trust them or not. I'm going to give them some time, but if not, you know, I'll have to go move again for the season.
And the good news is now with the Eagles coaching staff, there's not that Trey Thomas character roaming the sidelines, you know, causing all sorts of problems. Am I right?
Trey was the man. I was with him. He helped me a lot. I mean, he was great working with us and the D-line because he gave us, you know, real perspective on what the O-line was thinking. And in a lot of ways, the NFL, we don't talk to each other enough. And Trey really kind of bridged that gap, which was helpful for me in my career.
Carter did a really good job. What you did well is you made a move not look like a move. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of DNs, when the move comes, you start stutter stepping. But you did a really good job of making the move not look like a move, where you come in, step outside spin, come in, double hand swipe. You know what I'm saying? One hand bull run. Did a really good job of making the move not look like a move. And it was an extremely crafty rusher. Would do it the same as if what Chris Long was here. Could be that same type of person, an extremely crafty rusher that can get out there and get it done.
Mm. Yeah. That's what you see that? Look at it. He's still got your scouting report.
I mean, yeah, we'll see what happens. So, you know, I've been training for a couple months. I feel good. Knock on wood, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I hope so, man. I hope they get you in there. That would be awesome.
We're all rooting for it. Whatever keeps you around, basically. We just want you here.
Well, I'm going to be here. You know, I just... Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think I, you know, got something left and think I can help the team, and we'll see.
I always ask athletes this whenever they play, obviously, in one city, and then they go to another, a division rival especially. So you spent last year with the Giants, right?
Yeah.
And you're up there playing for another division rival. What is it like to come in here, like, as the opponent? Like, what's it like when you have to come back into Philadelphia after you played here for four or five seasons here in Philadelphia, and then you come back into the environment?
Well, it was a little weird. It was at the beginning, it was kind of great to see a lot of familiar faces, you know, people that work around the stadium. All that stuff was nice that you form relationships with. But honestly, my experience in New York, like I started the first five games because OV was hurt. And then we were like 1-6. And so essentially we just started playing all the young guys. So it was one of my most frustrating games of my 10-year career because I was in Philly and I was ready to just like whoop ass. And I barely even played because they were like playing a bunch of young guys because they were looking to the future. So for me, it was a really frustrating game because you wanted to, you know, come play against you guys used to play with. I mean, obviously the Eagles let me go. I wanted, you know, you had all that stuff to prove. And I think I played like 10 snaps. So that was unfortunate, but that's the way it goes sometimes.
Now, one of the guys that you were around here for a long time was Brandon Graham. Yeah. Have you ever met a happier human being?
No.
Does he ever stop smiling?
Permanent smile. Yeah, the guy's a man. I mean, unbelievable ups and downs of his career. You know, had the besides the Philly special, I mean, the biggest play in that Super Bowl game. So I love BG. He's from Detroit, where I'm from. You know, again, up and down, had injuries. People didn't believe in him. All that kind of stuff. And then, you know, had the play to to help the Eagles win a Super Bowl, so it was great.
Have Connor Barwin in studio right here. Make the world better. Your foundation's concert's coming up September 5th is the date?
Yeah, September 5th. It's Thursday before Eagles opening weekend, before they play the Redskins on Sunday. And, it's at the Dell. You can get tickets at the Dell. You can just search that on Google, or you can go to our website, which is mtwb.org.
Connor, how do you look at this Eagles roster? Where does it rank in as far as not only the NFC but in the NFL? Are they a top tier team in your opinion?
100%. I mean, it all starts with the quarterback. I am a big believer in Carson. You know, I got to play with him 1 year. Obviously, you know, I think some people in Philly, I don't know, people, the guy was going to win the MVP before he hurt his knee. I've seen him around a little bit. He seems like he's really healthy, taking care of his body now. He's a little bit older. I think that makes a difference. So I think it all starts there. And then next, it's all about the O-line and D-line. And I think the Eagles are still as solid as anyone on the offensive line, which is probably most important. And then defensively, you know, DB's awesome on the edge. They still got Fletcher, who's one of the most dominant inside guys. BG has came into his own here the last couple of years. And then Vinny's back, who is kind of as Trey can probably talk about, kind of a wild man rusher, which is a great changeup player. You need that. He can play inside. He can play outside. They like Malik inside. You know, and then if they add me,
they just need they just need a veteran guy.
They just finish. And then I got to give Jenkins credit. I mean, Jenkins is the man on the background. He keeps everything together, and he's that kind of leadership role, which I think is very important.
So you've been working out, trying to get some weight up to get you, have your hand in the ground now?
Yeah. It's crazy. I haven't been over 260 since probably 14. I went into camp at like 270 that year. And then Trey knows, like as soon as you get older, everybody's like, you need to lose a little bit of weight. You need to lose a little weight. You get a little lighter. So I've kind of done that the last 2 years. And in L.A., I was like 255, started every game. Was a captain, had 5 sacks, was fine. And then last year, I was same thing. But this year, you know, I want to open up my options to more, not just an outside backup, but being a plea DN. So I'm up to 265 now. I think I'm going to get to, me and Kelsey are working out. We're both trying to gain 10 pounds in the next 2 weeks before camp. So I'm going to probably get to like low 270s, and I think Kelsey's going to get up to 300. So,
wow, that's a good problem to have. I was always like, I need to lose 10 more before I go to camp.
Now, can you confirm for us, because the account was not verified. The account was not verified for Jason for Jason Kelsey.
Oh, it is. It is. It's truly his.
It is truly his.
Wait, his first post? Are you going to talk about that?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I was like, man, you went 3 years and that was your coming out.
You're talking about George Washington?
Yeah.
If anyone was going to honor a president from Philadelphia, it would be Jason Kelsey in this case. So he crushes a Miller Lite in honor of the first president and screams out George Washington to celebrate the 4th of July.
No, that's not the first.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about Charlottesville Airport.
Yeah, there was a dookie in the urinal at the airport. That's what brought him out of retirement.
I know. He like wanted to share that.
And I respect that, because that is something you don't see very often.
I was talking about 4th of July. Sorry. Yeah, I didn't want to go to the dookie.
That was like his second post.
Understood.
So he's back. He's back on social media. Yeah.
Somebody tried to pull a Roy Munson in the airport urinal. You got to document it.
Very, very much. Connor, we hope not only will we see you around the city, but also wearing that Eagle green again, my man. We're all pulling for you, and thank you so much for not just what you've done for the city and the sports world, but in the community as well.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for having me on.
September 5th, where can we get more information?
Just mtwb.org, or just Google search it. I mean, the Dell Music Center.
Dell Music Center. Fantastic. Connor Barwin, ladies and gentlemen. Connor, great to have you and great to see you.
Thank you, guys. Good to see you.
Thanks very much. I'll be back in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
Always good to catch up with Connor Barwin. And how about that? The comparison with him and Chris Long, I think, is very good. In terms of the veteran presence and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think he thought that out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, there's no question the guy wants to be here in Philadelphia.
No, like, he just said so.
Like, but not just that, but like, before he left, there was the idea. You know, he even introduced the idea of taking a pay cut to stay in Philadelphia. Yeah. Didn't work out. Goes to L.A., then New York, and then hopefully back here in Philly. But yeah, just 32, 33 years old. I think he still has something left to give the game.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, he was very effective at getting to the quarterback here. I don't see as a fourth, DN on the depth chart, how could that hurt?
Right. Now,
if anything else, for camp, it's good for the Josh Sweats and Sharif Millers and types like that. Good competition.
So we got into this a little bit on Quick Slants yesterday on NBC Sports Philly. Derek Gunn was off. I was in with our man Barrett Brooks. And we were talking about the DN position and, like, guys that we think have the most to gain that in the Eagles camp this, in a couple of weeks here. And my guy was Josh Sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's got kind of the most room to run here. He's got he's in the lowest floor. Let's put it that way. So he's got the highest stock to rise. Or he's got the stock that can rise the highest. Let's put it that way, because he's got so much room to grow. Think about this. The Eagles went into this draft, and Howie Roseman even said this going into it. It was going to be a defensive end heavy draft, an edge rusher heavy draft. You had 9 edge rushers go, defensive ends by definition, from rounds 1 to 3, 9 went, all right? So teams invested in that position. The Eagles didn't do anything until Sharif Miller in, the 5th round?
Yeah.
So they're counting on Derek Barnett to come back healthy and play well. They're counting on Josh Sweat to be something pretty decent in this league. And talking about the aforementioned Chris Long, he would tell me a lot about Josh Sweat being a player. Like, wait till he comes back from this knee injury. When he gets back to 100%, this guy's going to be a threat. So the Eagles haven't done a lot to really invest in that position in terms of long term. Yeah. Like, obviously they invested heavily in Brandon Graham with his new deal, 3 years. But when it comes to the younger guys, they're banking on Derek Barnett, and they're banking on Josh Sweat taking a step up. Vinnie Curry coming back. So maybe there's a little room there for
Connor
Barlow. Absolutely.
I don't see much risk to it at all. Vinnie Curry's very good against the run. Like, Brandon Graham and Vinnie Curry are very good at collapsing pockets, setting edges, almost getting to the quarterback. But they're not high, like, sack total guys. Mm-hmm. So why not bring in a veteran that knows how to get to the quarterback? A high tide rises all boats.
Yeah, and it's the Sixers theme all over again. Run it back. You had a guy in Chris Long that was a great community guy, a great guy to have in the locker room, a guy that's going to work his butt off every play of every game of every practice. Well, Connor Barwin was just sitting right here. That exactly describes him, too. Mm-hmm. Why not run it back? I totally agree with you. Josh Sweat, I remember Trey went to an OTA earlier this year, and I said to Trey, who stuck out? And that was the first name he said.
Josh Sweat.
Yeah, yep. Josh Sweat. So, I don't see... Boy, we're all putting the pressure on the Eagles, aren't we? But...
Sign
Connor
rushers?
Barwin.
Yes.
Are we talking pass rushers?
We're talking Connor Barwin.
I like that, man. Connor Barwin. You know what? Like I said earlier, he really did a good job of making a move not look like a move. And I mean, that's extremely important when you're talking about DNs. If a DN goes to stutter his feet, most offensive tackles are taught to stop because here comes the move. Hmm. Connor did a really good job of making his everything look the same. He would change up his stance based off of what type of rush he wanted to give him. And he was smooth, man.
He was hard to read?
Yeah, he was extremely hard to read. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because, there weren't stutter steps. We would go in and watch film. All right, this is what this tackle likes to do. He's a vertical setter or he's a 45 setter. So these are the rushes we want to give him, based off of how he sets. If he's a puncher, if he's going to be a grabber, all right, then here, this is how we're going to attack him. And he just kill it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
And, I wanted to ask him, one thing I regret was whether or not you would get after Chip Kelly for his music selections, like you do with our bump back.
No. No, my job during the Chip Kelly thing was just to sit in the back and make sure the lights were turned off. Yeah, turn those lights off, big fella. We're ready to watch film. All right.
Wait, he would hold on a second. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, yeah. This is something I am unaware of.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Chip would say to you.
No. Well, when I was in the offensive side of the room, I just had a chair that was just up against the wall where the lights were. So when it was time to turn the lights off as a staff when we were watching film.
You were the light guy.
Yeah, just look at me. Hey, hit that light. Hit that light, big fella. And keep your comments to yourself. Just be quiet. Just sit back there, turn the lights on and off. And be quiet.
Them quick hands still good for something.
Just, turn that light off. There it is. Turn it off with aggression.
I can totally envision you doing it with great gusto.
Yeah. Light is off. Light is on. There we go. Illuminate. Let there be light.
There you go.
Yeah, I was the controller of light.
Let there be light.
You were quite literally the Lord of Light.
I was the Lord of Light.
Little factoids I find out about you, brother. Little factoids.
I think
find
culture
out.
Is more important than scheme.
The Lord
pretty
of light.
Straightforward, black and white.
All right. So Connor came in with the comparison with Chris Long, and I think it's a great one. So that was a little nugget he dropped there.
Yeah.
And then I don't think I'm even embellishing here. Matt Breen comes on from the Inquirer at the top of the hour, 8 o'clock, and tells us. And I think he's going to be like, "Oh no, don't you? Alec Boehm has no chance of coming up to major league level." And he's like, "Yeah, totally." I believe the word he used, Jamie, if I'm not, because you perked up the same as I did. I think he said definitely.
Well, because I said it like on one of my Phillies tirades like 3 weeks ago. Franco was at his lowest of low, and I was just like, I don't give a damn about time of service. I don't give a damn about prospects not being ready. He was a college player. He's a grown ass man. Throw him in there and play. Like what else? What could be worse?
Uh-huh. Well, first
off, I didn't actually believe it. I said it, but I was like, oh, they're not going to call him up this year.
First off, the time service thing is...
It's the biggest crock in sports.
Well, I get it to a point.
To a degree.
If you have a 19-year-old that's like almost ready to break into the major league levels, 20 years old, like Miguel Cabrera, right?
Yeah.
If you have that guy that is that old, was Albies, I'm trying to think, or Okuna, who's the younger one of the two? Whoever it was. Like, I almost get it from a business standpoint.
Like, look at Vlad Guerrero, what's he, 20 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, the Phillies... you did it to me again. The same exact year Vlad Guerrero went. Who else went? Somebody else. The Phillies signed Jalen Ortiz, who's hitting like .220 in single A.
Yes.
And there's somebody else that's contributing on the Oh, it was Juan Soto for the Nationals.
When he was 16 years old, they
signed
Jalen Ortiz.
And this only cost money.
Yes.
And they picked the wrong guy.
And it was a $100,000 difference.
So you see where I'm triggered again?
I get it. And I don't mean to go there with you.
Sorry.
I need to give you the happiness here that Alec Boehm might be a major leaguer before the season's
over. I want to see it. Stop being so afraid.
If he comes up, you're in trouble.
He's 22 years old. He's going to be 23.
Yep, that's a man.
In less than a month. So service time, I don't want to hear about it because it's not like you're going to be...
This isn't a high school kid.
You're not going to be waiting to hold on to somebody who's about to get into their prime.
Yeah, it's not Mickey Moniak. Yeah,
exactly. You're going to be looking at a guy with like 6-7 years of service. He's going to be 30 by the time he's really due for big money.
Yeah.
So that's...
I'm a man. I'm 40.
That's why they signed Scott Kingery when they did, because he was a little older. Like,
so...
you can do the same type of thing with Alec Boehm. But anyway, I bring it up to Matt Breen, totally expecting.
I know.
And he, like, oh, no, no, no.
Because, the baseball guys, they can get a little, that's cute. You sports radio guys think that Alec Boehm should come up? Okay. Yeah,
exactly.
And he didn't do that.
No.
And I went, ooh.
He fanned the flame.
Yeah, he did.
Because I feel like prospect watch in baseball can be like the nerdiest, like all the answers are in the minor leagues.
Oh,
just go
yeah.
to the minor leagues, right? They're right there. They're under control because it's more so than college basketball and football because those guys aren't even yours yet. But when you look at baseball, you already have the rights to these guys. They're in your system. It's a matter of like putting them on a 40-man roster, getting them up here. And then he also mentioned, let's not forget, he also mentioned bringing up a pitcher like Adonis Medina, who I mentioned 390 ERA right now in the AA with the Reading Fightin' Phils.
Yeah, you'd like to see that a little lower in Double A.
You would.
Yeah.
But let's not forget that when the Phillies won their first first division in a million years, who came up from Double A? Do you remember the pitcher that came up and was like 10-4 with a sub-4 ERA?
In what year?
In 07. Kyle Kendrick. He came up, and that man actually pitched very well for the Phillies, helped get him over the hump to the point where they won the division. He came up from Double A. Now, there's other examples of that completely blowing up in their face.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Aaron Altair being one of them. Not a pitcher, but still an example of somebody first getting a break at the major league level coming straight up from Double A. So if you want to look at Alec Boehm, going to be 23 years old, like I said, in early August. Call him up.
Yeah, I'm over this prospect. Let him fester in the minors for a while.
Well, then, are you going after the wild card?
Yes, they're going after the wild card.
Is that going after it, though? You're going to throw a Double A guy in there instead of
working out for the Braves
Franco?
With Austin Riley? Yeah, I see these kids come up all the time now. Let's go.
Sometimes it works.
Yeah.
I know that most people...
It's not guaranteed to fail, that's for sure.
Exactly. Most people's default is, oh, you'll ruin the kid. Well, like...
All right. I'd like to think I have a little mentally tougher kid than, a 2-week stint in the majors ruining his career.
And first off, kid, he went to college. Like, he was a high draft pick. He's been cruising through your other systems here.
Yeah.
Give him a shot.
The other thing that Matt Breen did that I really appreciated, clear water.
I heard that. Well, he's a Ryan guy. If I'm not mistaken, he's a Ryan guy.
Okay.
Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan.
The water is strong up there.
Archbishop Ryan.
Yeah.
He's a PCL kid, Jamie, just like you. Just like you and me. Wait, you're PCL?
Yeah, we're PCL. How dare you?
Wait, hold on a second. But what about the, do you have girls?
No, we do not.
Okay, I just want to make sure you didn't have the girls on the side.
Yeah, the staff brought them in after school at Jamie's house.
Wait, what? I'm not Epstein. Jeez. That made it sound real creepy, Bob.
That did sound bad. It's
a little weird.
That's Jamie.
I'd like to apologize for that. Anyway, so, check out that. Hey, Connor Barwin, what a guy. Am I right?
Absolutely amazing.
What a guy. 610-632-0.
He wants Trey back coaching him. You could tell.
He does.
What do you have, 10 sacks that year?
I think he had 14 or 15, I think.
Ooh. I think it was 14 and a half, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's what Trey does. He makes guys have their best season.
Hey, yeah, man, you know, just there to help.
Hey, Trey, mind getting the lights over there? 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll play this again just for Jamie and Jamie alone. A Gabe Kaplerism that was almost at its finest. We'll get to you. We'll get to that coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
All right, this one is really for an audience of one, and the audience member's name is Jamie Lynch, because the cut is nothing short of spectacular, and I knew Jamie would really love it. But first and foremost, I do have to tell you that the 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by the Baxter Dumpster in a Bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. Trey, is this one of your mixes? Is
this
one of your,
no.
One of your Johns, if you will?
Nah, sorry.
Don't forget, on Friday, you guys, I'm off on Friday, but you guys will be naming the tool of the week come Friday, brought to you by Hollett's True Value and Garden Center. Spring is here, and that means it's time to head to Hollett's True Value and Garden Center in Lafayette Hill, where you'll find everything you need to bring your yard to life. If you need it, remember, Hollett's has it. I'm going by Hollett's, as a matter of fact, pick up some stone slabs, finish off the back patio.
Backyard
there.
For that barbecue you're having for us?
Damn right I am.
Nice.
Did you use your hose?
I bought a hoe over there at the Hollett's True Value Garden Center.
There you go.
What do you think I used to clear the space?
Exactly.
The lady that owned the house previous to my wife and I had this garden set up that we didn't like too much, and we thought it was a waste of space.
Okay.
And in the city, row home, you don't waste a foot.
Yeah,
you don't
waste
an inch.
Go get that hoe.
So I bought the hoe.
Mm-hmm.
Bought two hoes, as a matter of fact.
Oh, two.
What? Come on, why have
it's
one hoe?
Weird.
Why have why put them down in the basement next to the swing? And then, we had ourselves a... You still want to come to that barbecue? And
more than ever.
And I just cleared the space.
There you go.
I handled the business.
There you go. That's awesome. What are we doing?
I don't know. I don't know what happened. I blacked out for a second. Oh, hi, Rhonda.
Hey.
So anyway, I have this cut I wanted to play for Jamie, who's disappeared. But it has to do with Gabe Kapler and the collision that happened at center field.
Mm-hmm.
And the collision that happened, there's two of them that happened. And fortunately, no one was injured. That's the bottom line, especially when it's two of your better players. And let's tip a cap here to Bryce Harper, who has played pretty well as of late, especially at the plate when a guy isn't really known for his average, more so the on-base percentage. He's been getting done a little bit more so at home plate, but he's out there in right field, roaming around, and on two separate occasions, a guy that's been batting 292 throughout the month of July, and I believe 290 previously to that, he's turned the corner a little bit as far as batting average goes for this club. He's been a little bit more of what you would wanted to have, 255 in June, with a 376 on base percentage, and hitting the ball a little bit better. You don't want to see him get injured. You don't want to see a guy like Scott Kingery get injured. So the two of them collide on more than one occasion, unfortunately. And here is how Gabe Kapler chose to describe the collision.
I think Scott just wanted to feel how solid Bryce was. Like, physically, just wanted to see if he would be able to move through him or bounce off.
And Jamie, who's been the president of the Gabe Pride Parade.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
Just wanted to see how solid he was physically.
I want to believe that was Gabe making a joke.
It's hard to tell when really a robot makes a joke.
Well, yeah, that's kind of right.
I'll say this. He's not being serious. Like, it's not like he wanted.
He literally meant he wanted.
Right.
But, like, I think that's as funny as Gabe will get.
That's his satire?
That's it.
Wow.
Like, that's all you're going to get.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Unless you're talking coconut oil, then he might get excited.
Instead of seeing how Bryce presents, he wanted to feel how Bryce presents.
Physically.
He's so weird.
With his hands and his body. Anyway.
I think he just physically is presenting beautifully right now.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get a final on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Big controversy, just to set it up one last time. Major League Baseball juicing the baseballs, according to Justin Verlander, called it a, quote, bleeping joke. Using the F curse word in there. Bleeping joke. Major League Baseball owns Rawlings. He says it's not a coincidence. We're not idiots. Even Jeff Passan pointing out that Verlander leads Major League Baseball in home runs allowed. And also overall, over the last 2 years, almost two records set in 3 years. 3,691 home runs have been hit so far this season throughout the first half. They're on pace for 6,668, breaking the standing record by over 500 home runs. Ball's juiced. That ball's juiced a little bit. So let's find out if we care or not, Sam Wilson. And our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on any style window. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This morning we asked, do you care if baseballs are being juiced? We had 2,100 votes today. 60% said no, so it went up a little bit.
I'm shocked it was only 60%. Shocked. But what I'm not shocked about is that right now we have our takeaways of the day, as we do every day. Sam Wilson's back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Sam, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway is Eagles, bring Connor back. Good man. On the field and off the field.
There you go. Jamie Lynch, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway of the game.
What?
The takeaway of the day is that Gabe is incapable of making funnies.
Try that again.
Yeah, he can't talk.
Megan Gabe, he's got me all flustered.
Master Splinter, I made the funny. All right. Bob Cooney, take it with me.
Well, it's obvious that baseballs are juiced in MLB. For some reason, the Phillies missed the memo. So juice your bats, juice yourselves, juice something, but catch up with the rest of Major League Baseball.
Juice
please.
Your balls, too.
Yeah.
There you go.
Juice all the balls.
Well, juice all the balls. Trey, take away the
I'm going to go with Bobby on that one. I mean, why are we the only ones left out of this race? Come on! Do what you got to do.
My takeaway of the day is that if Matt Breen from the Inquirer tells us it's not crazy that Alec Boehm could get a call-up before the season's out, then by golly, nothing's crazy. And I love to live in this world. Enjoy the All-Star break, or the All-Star game tonight, everybody. And Connor Barwin should be back with the Eagles.
Yes.
Stay tuned for Gargano and Martinez Middays here on Nice M5, The Fanatic.
Everything we do matters.
97.5, The Fanatic.